بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last night in the Taraweeh, the six juz of the Quran was recited, and in the first ayat, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah ta'ala does not like that evil speech should be expressed openly, should be exposed. Evil speech here refers to carrying of tales, backbiting, mentioning faults of a person. So Allah does not like that this should be exposed, mentioned openly. Yes, on one occasion, this is allowed, illa man zulim, if a person has been oppressed. So the one who has been oppressed, he is allowed to mention the oppression that has been carried out against him for the sake of either warning other people or for seeking redress and seeking his rights. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ayah advises and encourages that even the person who has been oppressed, he should forego and rather take the great reward that Allah has kept for him in store in the Akhirah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that those who seek to cause a distinction and to cause a difference between Allah and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how is this? By them believing and bringing iman in some of the messengers of Allah and not believing in some of the messengers of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says regarding such people that أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. These people are true and are really disbelievers. So from this we come to understand the mistake and the great wrong that is perpetrated by those who try to drive this assertion and this belief amongst us that all religions are equal. You can be a Jew, believe in your religion, you also will get salvation in the Akhirah, in the year after, or you be a Christian, or you be a Muslim. We all come from one, and from the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salam, so we all are equal. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states that for a person to be considered a believer, he has to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will include now that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come into the dunya, a person, whether he be a Jew, Christian, he believes in his previous, in his Nabi, he also have to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without believing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the finality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's messengerhood, nubuwat, a person cannot be considered a believer. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Ahl al-Kitab, more specifically about the Jews, and the great audacity they had and great absurd claims they made, that they asked Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us with our own eyes openly. So Allah ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam that they had made such claims to their Nabi, to Musa alayhi salam, oh Nabi, you shouldn't be distressed by these claims that they are making and they are asking you. For example, they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam that if you want us to believe in your revelation, then the Quran that you are bringing to us, it should come down in a book form, like how the Torah was revealed to Musa alayhi salam all at once in a book form. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get greatly perturbed by these claims that they were making and these requests that they wanted. Allah ta'ala says, don't be perturbed by this. They had asked Musa alayhi salam for much greater things before. And then Allah ta'ala mentioned many of the wrongs and transgressions committed by the Jews and what wrong they had carried out, specifically against Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and against Maryam radiallahu anha, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the great accusation they had made against him, against her, and wa qawlihim inna qatilna al-masiha Isa ibn Maryam, and they claimed that they had killed, na'udhu billah, that they had killed Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala says, wa ma qataluhu, they had not killed him, wa ma qalabuhu, nor crucified him, walakin shubbiha lahum, but they were put into doubt concerning it, and they had killed one of their own men instead of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala says that Allah ta'ala has lifted Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, bar rafa'ahu Allahu ilayh, Allah has lifted him up to himself, and it is our aqidah and belief that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is alive by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and before Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala will send him back down into the earth, and this is one of the great signs of Qiyamah, wa innahu la ilmun lisa'ah, the coming descent of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And when Isa alayhi salam will descend later on, wa in min ahli al-kitab, at that time, whatever people of the book will be present, Jews or Christians, all of them, لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِي, then they will all bring iman on Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, on the true belief that we have concerning Isa alayhi salam, that he wasn't crucified. Allah Ta'ala had lifted him up, and now he has been sent down back onto the earth again. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا, and those who have the wrong beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salam, then on the day of Qiyamah, Isa alayhi salam will testify and will be a witness against them. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also advises the people of the book, Ya أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ, do not go against, do not exceed the limit with regards to your beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Specifically, do not think that he, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, is either God or the Son of God or one of the three. Allah ta'ala says that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is Rasulullah. He is the messenger of Allah wa kalimatuhu, and Allah Ta'ala's divine word alqaha ila Maryam, which Allah Ta'ala cast to his mother Maryam, wa ruhun min, and he is the soul from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala side. Fa'aminu billahi wa rusulih, to believe, have the correct belief in Allah and in all the messengers of Allah. Wa la taqulu thalatha, and do not say that they are three. Intahu, resist and abstain from this belief of yours, خَيْرًا لَكُمْ, this will be better for you. إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ, Allah Ta'ala is the only and the one deity, the one being worthy of worship. سُبْحَانَهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ, Allah Ta'ala is pure from having any child, any offspring. To him belongs everything in the heavens and the earth. And Isa alayhi salam himself, he did not find it below his dignity to be a slave of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So why are you elevating him from his true position and taking him to a position which he himself did not claim? Then the next surah is Surah Al-Ma'idah. Ma'idah means the, what we call, dastarqan, the table spread. Because later on in the next juz, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentions the incident in the time of Isa alayhi salam when they requested the table spread and Allah Ta'ala sent it down from the heavens. And the surah begins, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil uqood, O people of iman, fulfill your pledges, your pact, your agreement that you enter into. So there are three types of pledges that a person takes. One is the pledge that he has made between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he recites the kalima. He says, La ilaha illallah, that he's making a pledge with Allah that he will believe in Allah, obey all the commands of Allah. When he says, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and this is a pledge that he's making, he will follow the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the first pledge. The second pledge that a person makes between himself and, example, a person takes a vow on if certain work of mine gets accomplished, then I will do such and such a thing. So this also you should fulfill. And the third type of pledge is that which is made between us, between men themselves. Agreement, a person enters into leasing agreement, employment agreement, buying and selling, etc. So these also, Allah Ta'ala says, أَوْفُ بِالْعُقُودِ, fulfill these agreements you enter into. So long as the rules, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being broken, then it is compulsory to fulfill such agreements that a person enters into. In the next page, a very great and important ayah is mentioned, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَجْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, Allah Ta'ala said that today, on this day, I have completed for you my deen and I have fulfilled upon you my bounty and my blessing, and I am pleased with Islam as a deen for you. So this is a very great verse. One of the Jews, when they heard this ayah, then they told Umar radiallahu anhu that this is such a great verse. If it was recited to us, then we would have, if it was revealed to us, we would have made the day to reveal a day of festivity, a day of Eid. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I am well aware of the day when this ayah was revealed. It was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Arafah. It was a day of Jumu'ah. It's a double Eid for us, the day of Jumu'ah and the day of Hajj. And at the time of Asr, after Asr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse to the Muslimin while he was mounted on his camel. So Allah Ta'ala says that Allah has perfected deen for us, and he has perfected and completed his bounty and favor for us. So the deen that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, Allah is happy with it. Radhi, so Allah is happy. Like a person, he is happy with something and now he gives it to his son, he gives it to his child. He says, take this, I am happy with it, I am giving it to you. so that me and Allah says, I'm happy and I'm pleased with it, and now I have given it to you, complete and perfect. So any ni'mah that we have to make shukr and appreciate it. And shukr is of three ways. One is you make shukr with your tongue. That we should also do that. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bil muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasoola wa nabiya. We read this dua. We read it every day, morning, evening, three times. In day of qiyamah, Allah will give a person so many favors that he will be happy, he will be pleased. And also these are the three questions that will be posed to a person when he's put in the qabr. That what is your, who is your Rabb, what is your deen, and what is, who is your Nabi, or what do you say concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person reads this, this dua morning and evening, and he reminds himself, then what will happen? It will come slowly, slowly. The conviction will come into his heart. When he's put in the qabr and these questions are posed to him, it will be easy for him to answer it. So shukr with the tongue. Shukr, we should appreciate it and value it in our heart also. Any ni'mat of this world we get, we appreciate, value somebody. We get a car, we have a house, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the shukr for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have we made shukr for that? As Imam Abdul Hamid explained us, that when you come for salah, then say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this muraqabah and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, shukr to you that you have made salah farad. That if you hadn't made salah farad, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to come and present myself in your court to speak to you. So shukr for deen ni'mat, we should make shukr for all of individually the deen ni'mat, and as a collective, the whole deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to us. And then practically we should bring it into our lives and practice deen. Allah ta'ala likes to see the sign of his ni'mat visible on his servant. Example, Allah has given a person wealth. So a person hides that wealth away and he looks like a poor person, destitute person. Allah doesn't like this. Allah likes it, that wealth has been given to a person. Now show it, display it on yourself. Use the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sign of it should be visible on us. We should become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should follow all the commands of Allah. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Then in the next, the beginning of the next quarter, the command of wudu and the four faraid of wudu is mentioned. And when a person is coming and presenting himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to attain cleanliness. If he doesn't have water, then Allah ta'ala has made it easy. You can use sand, you can perform tayammum. And Allah ta'ala says that Allah doesn't want to make it difficult for you, but Allah wants that you should attain, Allah wants to purify you. And again, Allah ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, that you should make shukr. So shukr on the different aspects of deen that Allah ta'ala has sent down for us. And further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this incident of Bani Israel when Musa alayhi salatu wa salam told them that enter into the city, enter into the village. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it for you. This village here refers to Baytul Muqaddas, and in it was a very strong and mighty nation, the Amalika. So the Bani Israel were told that you only have to enter into the village, the rest Allah ta'ala will take care of it. But Bani Israel, they, as was their habit, they didn't want to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the Nabi gave to them, in this case Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. So they made many, many excuses. They said, إِنَّ فِيَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ, those are very strong people, and how are we going to fight against them? But they were not told to fight against them, they were just told to enter inside. And then they said, was great, was bare adabi, not having respect. They told Musa alayhi salatu wa salam that, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ, you and your Rabb, you go and fight. إِنَّا هَا هُنَا قَاعِدٌ, we are just sitting, we will remain sitting here, you and your Rabb go and fight. So Musa alayhi salatu wa salam finally he said that, oh Allah, I don't have control over these people. I only have control over myself and my brother. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that the Baytul Muqaddas would be haram for Bani Israel for 40 years. So for 40 years, they were left to wander around in the valley of tea. From this we come to understand that when the command of Allah is, when we have established whatever the command of Allah is, then our duty is to put ourselves forward and to carry out the command of Allah. To say, Sami'na wa Ata'na. We shouldn't see that it's so difficult and how in these times, how will we be able to practice upon it? No, whatever the command of Allah is, we carry it out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we go forward, Allah ta'ala will make it easy. Allah ta'ala will see to all the different conditions. We have to do what is our responsibility, and whatever we can do, we do, then the rest we leave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not become like the Bani Israel. And in the next ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's son, Habil and Qabil, and the incident of where the son, the first act of transgression that was carried out on this earth, the first sin, which was of murder. So this was because Qabil was jealous of his brother Habil, and Ulama explained that from this we can understand the severity of jealousy, that the first sin that was carried out in the heavens when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was when the malaika were commanded to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, then the shaitan, out of jealousy, he didn't want to make sajda. And on this earth also, the first sin that was carried out, murder, the basis of speech was jealousy. So jealousy is a killer disease. We have to make an effort to rid ourselves of this disease and protect ourselves from this disease. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the punishment for theft. وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ, a woman or man who has been convicted of carrying out theft, فَقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا, then the hand should be cut off, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَسَبَا, as a punishment for what they have done, نَكَالًا, and as a means of other people taking lessons. So this is a divine punishment, the penal code that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, that if we enact it and we bring it into our society, if it is brought alive, then we will see so much of good will come about. People might think that, example, in our country there's so much of theft, so much of stealing takes place, everybody's hands will be cut off. No. But Allah Ta'ala's command and Allah Ta'ala's laws and such wisdom, let's carry it out. Once people's hands will be cut off, and you'll see all that stealing will soon vanish. People will become too scared to carry it out. But because, unfortunately, there's no place on this, there isn't any way in the world in this time and age where the commands of Allah and the law of Allah Ta'ala is fully established. That is why we love such life where the criminals, they are left free, and those that are innocent, we have to love in jails, etc. But when the deen of Allah and every command of Allah is established, then life on this world also will become like heaven, will become like Jannah. That is why we have to also have this desire that we should, that every command of Allah should be established. Every command of Allah should be established. The khilafat, the true khilafat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, that should be established. It should be a cherished wish of ours, and we should make dua for its establishment also. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ, that do not take the Yahud, the Jews and the Christians as true bosom friends, close friends. They are friends of one another. A person's true friend should only be a believer, a mu'min. We can interact with them, we can deal with them in business, etc. Be kind to them, be just to them, do good to them. Allah Ta'ala doesn't stop us from this, but to take them as friends where we love them from our heart, Allah Ta'ala has prohibited us from having such relations with them. And so Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, that those who turn away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become mursid, na'udhu billah, then they are not causing any harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the deen of Allah, to the believers. But Allah Ta'ala will bring someone else in their place. And Allah Ta'ala will bring such people who have such qualities that Allah will love them and they will love Allah. They will be kind to the believers and they will be hard against the kuffar. So Ulama explained that Allah Ta'ala mentioned after the command of not having or not taking the Jews and Christians as friends, Allah Ta'ala mentioned the ayah of a person turning away from the deen of Allah. This shows that when a person becomes very close with the non-Muslims and he starts loving their ways, loving them, then his deen now becomes in jeopardy, and it could be a cause for a person leaving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we who stay in non-Muslim countries, we should be very, very careful. We interact and meet with these people, but their love shouldn't come into our hearts. Recently there was one story of a family, what is called our type of family, Muslim family, and they were going for holiday to Dubai. So the father said that let us go for Umrah from here. So the father, mother and the son, so they booked their tickets and made all arrangements to go. And now everyone is putting on ihram and getting ready and prepared. But the son, they're not putting on the ihram. So the father is telling them, come, we're going for Umrah. So they said that you can carry on, but we have left the deen, we are no more believers. So How does this happen is when a person is not careful who he is associating with in school. We go to non-Muslim schools and the whole day we are with non-Muslim, and we then after school also extracurricular activities, sports, etc., we take part with them. Then the love for their ways, the love for them comes into the heart, and then before a person knows it, the love for Deen and Islam is born out of the heart, and Allah Ta'ala protect us and protect the entire world.